they exist. And many of you find your deepest spiritual life in the small groups that we do have. But as the church grows, there will be a need for more of them. And I want to know what your thoughts have been. What have you been looking for? I'd like to know some of your experiences in the small groups you've had. What has been the emphasis of them? How has the church used them? Some churches have different names for them because they emphasize different things. So I'd like to know what your thoughts have been so far. Jeff?
Well, one of them, for the men's Bible study, there's been a lot of talk about maybe changing the time or something, because there's men who would like to come but just can't make it Tuesday night because of work schedules and all those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly want to include as many people as want to come. We would not want to be there. And there's been attempts to change the time in the past, but it just always falls apart because there seems to be no good time for everyone.
Good. So is your takeaway from that, Jeff, saying, just for the recording here, that we've had a hard time getting the men's group, the one that meets on Tuesday night, that is, as opposed to the one that meets at Crystal Diner, a good time for that? And that may be a part of life in this area. Is your takeaway then we just need more groups, or... What do you think about that?
It's really tough to get a good time because of people's schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought had been at one point to make it Saturday mornings. And I'm not sure what happened with that thought. It's just, the best thing to do, in my opinion, I don't know, with obviously not having a family myself, I don't know how difficult it is. But the best thing might be a Saturday when people don't have to work.
Mm-hmm. What was that, Mark?
Some people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some people think this is the one day that my family expects me to be around all day, and now I'm turning around and going out to a small group. So there are all those tensions. Yeah.
Earlier, one dimension of this is one of scale, because when you're dealing with a group of people of a certain size, you can't easily support four different groups meeting at four different times to accommodate different schedules.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So as there is a demand and a number of people to support more groups, then the groups can be arranged for different types of schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one criterion of which study one might go to, but schedule is one. There are others. Mm-hmm. There are other ways that groups get broken up, but certainly schedule is one. I know the women ended up having one in the morning and one in the evening for that very reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What has the culture been here of, would you say, small groups in terms of how they've been used? Have they been welcoming? Have they been, do groups like to sort of find their community and they're comfortable in that community and it's healthy the way it is and it's maybe less welcoming? Have you had an emphasis of multiplying or not? How has that worked out? What have you noticed?
That's very welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Every time someone new comes in, when I first came in, it was everyone was happy that I was there. It was and immediately it was they wanted a newcomer to join in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It was very welcoming and open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Even in the past, our church has had, Hope Church has had, and Dennis, you can help me kind of go through my memory, but it seems like we've had a pretty good variety of small groups. We've had women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies. We also have study groups where they gravitated towards being mostly single. I'm thinking of the one in Cheeks House that had mostly single people on Friday night. So I guess we didn't have a huge number of them, but each one was unique in its own kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you guys say that was sort of, which I thought was kind of okay. I mean, it was, and it wasn't that we just said A through C, go goes to this group and B through F go, you know, it wasn't like this would be your group. It was kind of gravitated to what your interest was.
Mm-hmm. And now you used a word there for each one of those. You said we had a women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies, a study group. You used the word study and used the Bible. And that carries with a particular emphasis. Has that been the emphasis of the small groups? Has the emphasis been on study?
Well, no, I think like the ensemble music group, is the emphasis would be community, singing, mm-hmm. and
Yes, I would say you
can. Mm-hmm.
But did the church look at them as small groups? There's a way that you can, those things sort of come together organically, and you look at yourself as a group, and you find yourselves doing things that typify a small group. So the choir might pray together and whatnot. Did the church look at you as groups, and how did you feel a part of the church in that sense? Ed, you were saying?
Yeah. Well, in our case, when we meet at 7:30 in the morning, that can be a problem for people who have jobs who don't like to get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But ours is pretty much
some both.
Yeah. We're all, Carl and I are the ones from the same church.
Mm-hmm.
The other two or three are from other churches.
Mm-hmm.
So what's helpful about it is that we get a chance to share ministries and share problems that are peculiar to other churches.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we barely get into the lesson because we develop such a good relationship about sharing mm-hmm. personal problems and problems in general
mm-hmm.
that we end up discussing and kicking around, you know, the problems of the world
mm-hmm.
when we get to the lesson. But mm-hmm. it's a healthy thing because I think it's helped us all to better relate to other people.
Mm-hmm.
We can get statements and things out. How will we approach this? How will we approach that? Well, when you've got four or five guys that know each other pretty well,
mm-hmm.
you can be pretty open with how you express things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very helpful in that regard. Now, as far as adding to our group, it would have to be somebody that's don't mind that hour and don't mind meeting in a diner. But
mm-hmm.
We don't work from the Bible. We work
mm-hmm.
from a commentary or one of the prophets mm-hmm. or just a book on a particular site or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be all that structured.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's part of what I enjoy about it. That's not a strict learning, you know, school type, classroom type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we get together and we meet, and whatever comes up, comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very comfortable. We welcome new people. Mm-hmm.
And just as a side, I would say that connection of Scrapple and Scripture is a powerful, powerful connection there. Gwen, you were going to say.
I think that the women's groups have been sort of the opposite of that, very structured, and looking at Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
As far as who goes to which, I mean, it's totally open. We've had for years now, we have worked the morning study into a morning, and it's been Thursdays and it's been Wednesdays, when we could get a reliable babysitter or two reliable babysitters, because that's a need. We also had a time when we advertised in the Brandon Farms newsletter, which Brandon Farms starts right on the other side of the Federal City there. And we had some people from the neighborhood who had never studied the Bible before came and stayed. And we had friends of friends came and neighbors of friends came. There's been a little less of that lately. The two groups have kind of settled. The evening group also, we had some people from other churches or no church. But right now, it's settled into where the evening group was wanting to do a more advanced study. We did Hebrews. The morning study did John. And they were pretty stable groups. And we didn't have a lot of people coming from the outside. I would like to see that happen some more. But with groups as small as these, they do change. You know, there was one year where the evening group was very much focused on someone who was relatively new to the faith. And now we don't have anybody like that in
mm-hmm.
the evening group. So it kind of changes.
Mm-hmm.
But however the needs are, but we do study. and we sometimes don't have enough time to share and pray, but we have a lesson that we do, and it is structured in that way. So I think for I think women appreciate that, especially if they spend their days with little children. They'd like to do something that is structured and adult, and they're not sitting around talking about diapers and discipline, but they're talking about how to apply Bible to their lives. Now, on the other hand, there may be a need, as a church grows, to have something like mothers of young children might want to have their own group that does talk about diapers and discipline. I don't know. I think that might be. But at this point, I don't see us being large enough for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking so far, we've been talking about groups. This is how I'm reading it, by the way. We're talking about groups as they grow, collected organically, and how they have taken on different groups have taken on different ethos. Some more community, some more study. Some to what you call a demographic singles and whatnot. I'm curious to know how the small groups have been understood by the church. In other words, you probably know this, that there are many churches out there that actually build their church on small groups. Right? There are other churches that use small groups because of the church's size or because of the how spread out the people that go to the church tend to be. They use the small groups to do care in the church and to build community that way. in terms of your experiences here, how are small groups understood by your leadership in the past? What would you say?
May I use one word?
You can use as many as you want.
Ignored.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And why would that be?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. We do our thing, mm-hmm. and it's been that way for years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The two women's groups.
Mm-hmm. So when you say the women, you are saying, I don't know about the men, or the women's groups tend to be ignored, but the men's don't, or...
I'd say that the leadership of the church has been, and I'm talking over many years, the years that I've been here, that the church goes and does it's almost like the women have their own groups, their own life, and it isn't integrated in any way whatsoever into the church or the leadership, mm-hmm. or the thinking of the leaders even.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been our feeling. Maybe it's just me, but I feel it's fine. We have our own thing. We don't particularly want to be told what to do.
So you don't want leadership, and that's just fine.
We pick our own materials and our own leaders, and we do our own thing at the time we want to do it. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that there's no connection between what we do and what other groups do or what the church in general is doing.
Has the church ever said... I suspect not from what you said, but for instance, we're all going to look at this book of the Bible this year, or we're all going to use these materials, or since we have this or that vision statement, and we want the church to go after this vision as the community collects in smaller communities, we want you to think about these things. Has the church ever done that?
It was an attempt at one point, but it was very impractical because we were into a study on, and we were meeting every week.
Mm-hmm.
And in the morning, and there was an attempt to meet every other week in the evening and have all the groups meet the same night and have babysitting, which for young children and school-aged children who had homework to do, for both parents to be out and them to be out, was, in my opinion, very impractical, and I fought it. Well, I did. I just said, that is not practical. That was one attempt.
Mm-hmm.
That was a number of years ago.
But I agree with Gwen, because when I went to the one in Trenton for years, and Pedro and Jim visited, but it wasn't like, some, you pick your own topic, you do your own thing, whether you eat or you don't eat or whatever.
Well, that's different. Autonomous and having pastoral visit is different than ignored, and we don't care. So that's.
I think that it was, to be fair, you know, people knew, you know, they knew what was going on, but it wasn't as structured as what you're talking about. They were they kind of just were autonomous to do what, you know, the topic of interest, I guess.
There's a term, I think it was coined by Henry Kissinger in a different context. And I think the phrase was benign neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably applies to what we're talking about here. It was not that the leadership was unaware. It was that there wasn't a master plan. The things that were happening were basically good. And there was not a problem that needed to be dealt with. The only problem, and with a small key, I would say, was because there was benign neglect, there was, for those who cared within the small groups, there was this question of, does anybody care? Is anybody aware? Is anybody really concerned about what we're doing and whether it's a good thing to do? Whereas on the other side, it was, hey, it's working well. We see evidence that it's working well. And there's no reason to interfere, and there are other things that require our attention at this point. So I think it was certainly not a sense of, it was not with any sense of, certainly with no sense of malevolence. It was more of a sense of relief that things were happening that were basically in the right direction.
Okay.
Be it dinner, fellowship among Christians of one group, what's wrong with that? Nothing is wrong with that. Could it be different? Yes, but if there are a group of people who find that constructive, and one would say we see no signs of anything going astray there, then there is a certain merit to giving people autonomy to move in various directions, because out of that come different ideas that might not have come up if there was a master plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because you give, it's the American way, right? You give people the opportunity to try different things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but a laissez-faire attitude toward all of structure, I mean, it isn't good. I think we all agree with that. And what we're hearing in the comments was, I think there's certainly some degree of understood oversight by the church leadership is a helpful thing. And I think the church could be faulted in the past for not making that clearer.
Mm-hmm.
But again, one has to look at the context of the time and the other issues that were on the table. And given that things were happening and they were basically positive, there didn't seem to be a need for a stronger involvement by the leadership of what was happening. But I think, rightly, I mean, I think some would feel, well, we would like a little more affirmation that what we're doing fits in with the plan of the church, or putting it in a more negative way, is there a plan of the church, or are we just sort of floating around doing what seems like a good idea?
Yeah. One of the things that interests me in that narrative is when there were other things to handle, other things to deal with in the small groups where we're humming along, for lack of a better phrase, were the small groups then, when other things were going on, did the leadership of the church use the small groups at all to communicate? Did they enter into those collected communities as they met to communicate those other things that are going on that are distracting us from giving attention to small groups as a ministry? In other words, you know, I was recently at a church where we were trying to move and buy property. So in addition to my duties to meet with every small group at least once during the year, we had an additional meeting with those small groups to talk about, hey, this is a chance for you to meet with a pastor on moving the church and ask questions about the budget and things like that. Did the small groups ever used like that? Okay. Well, that's just helpful from a descriptive standpoint. Yeah, Ed, you wanted to add?
In your opinion, Dave, do you think that the whole church should have some degree of, not control, but input into all the individual groups that meet, so as to say, Hope Church has a men's group, a women's group, in other words, an identity for those groups. Is that what you think it should be happening or not? Does it matter that Hope Church is sponsoring this, if you will? group, or just the fact that the group is exists, because you don't have people all from the same church anyway in these groups. So does it matter that, that the Hope Church itself doesn't have any particular connection?
Well, that's part of what I want to listen to. I want to listen to your thoughts today. It would be great as we move ahead to particularizing, to hone in on what our vision is and figure out how small groups fit into that. You know, there are many different ways that small groups have been used, and depending on what your goal is, how you then approach small groups changes. So, for instance, there are churches that are so large that having a particular men's group, numerous women's groups, singles groups, retirement groups, that's the lifeblood of the church. And if you don't have that, you just aren't having community because you're meeting in such a big hall and it's hard to get in and out of the parking lot and you just don't, you're not really getting a chance to talk to people because people are running different places. So it is used in particular for community. There are those churches where the small groups are part of the teaching arm of the church. And what's typical of those churches that elders lead small groups, and your materials are very closely watched and so forth. There are other churches that use small groups actually to multiply the church, to do it in church planting, hoping that some of these churches become house churches, see, and can grow the church that way. Or a number of these groups can be put together that's in a certain location, a geographical area. So there's so many things that small groups can do in addition to just bringing fellowship among each other. And so I don't have a master plan on that because I haven't heard your hearts, you know, on it yet. Joseph, you were going to say before.
I was just going to comment on the autonomy. I don't see, for example, as a Bible study, why it's a common autonomous group. Mm-hmm. Why it has to be directly connected with church leadership, because church leadership is going to change someday. You know?
Well, one particular reason for there to be some oversight, again, it depends on what you're going to do with the groups, I suppose. But one reason there really must be oversight is there has to be some kind of accountability when conflicts arise in groups. Or if sometimes, you know, small groups become aware of, for instance, sin in people's lives before a pastor does. So as I do visitations with some of your families and I meet with you, let's just say I was doing a visitation with the Rao family, and I'm not going to talk about myself in the third person. Well, if I were beating a Wilda, and let's say she was so frightened of me, which believe me, she is not. Or I'll write that down. Yeah, I will write that one down. You know, if she was so frightened of me, she could put makeup on for that one visit with the pastor that year and put on a good show. But if she's in a small group every week, at some point, you're probably going to see her crack. Right? So you might know, as we go to your small group, that this guy isn't all he presents himself to be. Well, you need to have some connection with the pastor. There has to be a discussion for a small group leader. Is that something I can talk about? Am I expected to be keep confidentiality? Those sorts of things. Church discipline ends up working its way out sometimes in ways that are unorganized or disorganized. And people can be hurt if there's not clarity on these relationships. Even if that means in a group like Ed's, where there's just that you're under somebody's care and authority, if something goes wrong, it's agreed to that we will go to this pastor or this church's authority to work something out if something happens. Now, you know, usually, and God forbid that, you know, that just doesn't happen. But it's good to talk about it because you're not just some sort of freestanding group of believers that can teach anything you want. I mean, there are a lot of people that use our Bible from different sects and things and say, they're using the very same translation, maybe even, but they say something radically different about the scripture. So it's good to have some clarity on that. You were going to say, Dennis? Okay. Yeah, Jeff.
Just a quick question. Going by the comments that, you know, that there's some sort of small groups are ignored, and I don't know if this question can be answered, but how would you, because obviously the point, my idea was that the point of a small group is one, to know more about the word and to have a close relationship with God, but also to feel support of the brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in Christ. So how would you meld together the fact that you want some autonomy so that they have, you know, so that they're able to study Hebrews if they want to, or able to study those things, while also making sure they don't feel it more? Because I don't understand, like, I just don't understand how you could give them the autonomy that they want to feel and also not make them feel ignored.
Well, for those of you in small groups, I mean, these are pretty organic things. There is no formulaic small group unless you're in something like, you know, Bible study fellowship, which isn't quite, you really couldn't call that quite a small group because of its emphases, I suppose, and size. But, you know, you can go to many small groups in the same church, and they have their own culture, their own ethos because of leadership gifts, gender emphasis, if it's all men, all women. Some people want to be in a group where they're just learning the word, all right? For other people, maybe the group's later at night, and you know your brain's turning off at the end of the day, and frankly, you just need brothers and sisters around, and you want to play some songs and pray for one another, hear what's happening in each other's lives, and those are all okay. Okay, they're all small groups; they're all legitimate in the Church of Christ. So the leadership you have at the moment has not determined anything about vision, all right? But I do want to hear from you, and you've been great about telling me what your experiences have been. I would like to hear ideas about where you think should go in our context here. What do you think we need? Ute.
I'm very new to this church, mm-hmm. and I formed a church from other churches. According to my experience, the church, what's going on in a small group should be shared, but at the top level of the church session. If there is any prayer concern, the first thing the session or the leadership should talk about is the prayer request, anytime. So you can imagine the organization is a very structured way. The very leader concern is more well known up top, and the leadership pray for. You should have that leadership has a strong concern even to the bottom. Mm-hmm. But if that breaks, what happens is the small group can be the center of the gossip. Of that will break the basically, it will make the church weak. And when it gets weak, what happens is the small group itself is gossiping against the church. Basically, some of the small groups may leave. If you don't have accountability or you don't have like a prayer, some concern sharing with the leadership. Basically, the small group is not part of the church. Did that happen?
Yeah.
So I believe that the small group should have identity as the part of the church. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it basically it can go anywhere. And that's what makes the church.
Yeah. In the church, where we are the body of Christ, where leadership is shepherding, there is no such thing as benign neglect in shepherding. In other words, neglect is death. See, if the shepherd neglects the sheep as they gather, then it's not benign. So there does have to be care and attention given. It just has to be expressed well what that's going to be, what that's going to look like. What is that accountability going to look like? What sometimes happens in small groups when conflicts happens is the small groups become communities of a certain understanding. You know, as they've talked through a problem or what might be going on, one community believes one thing and one community believes another thing because there is no regular connection with leadership. And you know, the elders can also function as a small group, in for good and for bad, you know. So there does at some point have to be, as you, if you're going to have small groups as a ministry, all ministry has to have accountability. So it has to be clear what that really looks like. Okay. Mark?
We've been in about 8 different churches in the past 25 years, and wide variety of doctrinal, philosophical differences. The one common thread is that they've all emphasized small groups. We've been in good ones, bad ones. Some of them emphasized Bible study, some of them emphasized prayer, and you know, some of them emphasized more the interactive sharing. They've all been good. We've had men's only group, women's only groups. We've had couples groups. We've seen good ones of all kinds, and we've seen bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the common thread in the bad ones has not been the wrong emphasis, like it's Bible study and we like more prayer, it's sharing, we like more Bible. The common thread in what makes a bad small group bad seems to be that you have one or two individuals who are both very needy and very self-centered, who just dominate.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just go on and on about their agendas, their needs, to the point that people don't really want to come anymore because you know, it's just a waste of our time. And you know,
that's why Watson kicked me out of that group.
And I don't know how to deal with those kinds of people. I mean, you want to be compassionate. You want to be sensitive to these people, but you also want the time to be profitable to other people. But that, to me, is when I look at my vision of what I'd like to see in a small group. I mean, Lynn and I prefer to go to small groups together. You know, it's you know, we want to participate in church life as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
We came here, there were only men's groups and women's groups. Yeah, that's fine. Lynn went to Gwen's Bible study a few times. I probably would have started going to the men's group if they hadn't started up the one that includes couples.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not the issue. And like I said, we can have Bible study focus, we can have prayer focus. That's really not the issue. The issue is just knowing how to keep these certain individuals who always seem to become parts of small group from essentially taking over and making it not a profitable experience.
And sort of as an addition to that,
mm-hmm.
we've been in small groups in Reformed churches like PDI, where you were not allowed to go to the small group unless you were a member of the church, and it was seen as an extension of pastoral counseling and pastoral care.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if there were problem people were members and the pastors would step in.
Mm-hmm.
But then at New Life, the small groups were considered kind of almost an evangelistic thing, and they wanted people to be free to welcome in anybody to a small group,
mm-hmm.
which I think is actually a really great idea. I like that myself. But if we have a revival, and I personally am praying for a revival, and I believe the Lord wants to send a revival and bring the lost in, I believe that with all my heart. You know, right now, if you look around Hope Church, this is not a church with people with severe psychological issues on tons of medication and in and out of mental hospitals. You know, we don't have that, but if we get a revival, we will.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of decide ahead of time how you work that balance of having them be part of the body that we have to lay down our lives for without, like Mark said, having them just ruin meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll ruin meetings. I've been through it.
Dennis, you were going to say before?
You had made a list of various emphases or purposes that small groups can have.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I wanted to round out the list with another focus that I've seen and participated in small groups, where the focus was on the study of Scripture and on fellowship, yes, but there was a clear secondary objective of developing leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, there wasn't a leader of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody in the group was expected to lead when their turn came.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a person who could help that person lead.
Mm-hmm.
There was a person who was a facilitator of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But that person wasn't the guru. In the sense of everybody came in and looked at that one person as we. but rather there was a strong emphasis in pulling everybody in to what does it mean to prepare? What does it mean to study? How do you go about doing this? And so it became a training ground as well as a fellowship exchange. And we...
Can I ask if that... Yeah, it is interesting to ask. Would there be people that would not join a small group like that only because they because it's it means I have to lead
well,
and I don't.
That would be a problem, I would think.
Yeah.
In a normal church.
He's one of those people in that group that's taken it's taken over. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a group of people that are selected and say, I recommend you go to this group because I think you'll get something special out of it because you see the potential for leadership there, but the lack of training. And so the group itself can be a developmental environment as well, beyond that automatic part of just what you learn in a study. But it can have the emphasis on growing people to the point of filling roles of leadership, whether it's a small group leadership or whether it's other positions of leadership in the church. So I just wanted to get that in terms of the purpose of the group.
Yeah.
Developmental. Leadership development is another important dimension of what groups can do. Yes, you can get on the buy. You can have the emphasis that everybody should take a turn. But if somebody says, I'm uncomfortable with that right now, there's certainly no reason why that person couldn't get a buy for
Well, and in a less severe form of that, you can have a number of people who are taking turns leading, who have been asked to, and who are being helped in preparation, and so on. You can have a few people. You don't have to have everybody.
It doesn't have to be 100%.
And they can be understood, but then that's how it can happen.
Yeah.
Did anybody say that these groups shouldn't be an important part of the church?
No. No. But
everybody's saying what can we do to make them more effective?
No. But you can see how the methods that a church uses for developing small group serves the goals that they have for them. So whether it's building community, whether it's caring for people, whether it's just keeping track of people's hearts in the group. You know, that whole idea that everyone has to be a member. There's a church discipline aspect of that one. The New Life one sounded like it's missions oriented, evangelistic oriented. That would change the kinds of materials you used if anybody, you know, off the street can get in your group. You'd be doing less Hebrews. You'd be doing more John, as the women had that emphasis. So I'd like to know, given you all live around here, what you think we need. And that could be just practical things. It looks to me, as I look around, that we need more small groups for families where there is childcare and where there can be couples and children. It seems like we need that. Other emphases that you think we need or they're missing. Somebody might be action-oriented groups that have an outreach component to them. Wilda, you're going to say?
When we were at Redeemer, they had small group leadership training, and the leaders, if I recall correctly, met on a semi-regular basis, so there was accountability to the larger church, a certain expectation of small group leaders, to some extent, barring the personality, of course, that you had people on the same page, regardless of the group's function or quote, emphases, and that kind of training would probably be helpful.
Yeah.
Not that just that it's academic, but how do you help a small group leader deal with the individual who tends to dominate a group? These are the areas where this sort of thing could be extremely helpful.
Well, again, having churches, having small groups that do have a connection oversight to church leadership makes it possible for a leader like that to say, help me. here's a person that's taken over. I need help with this, and I don't know what to do. They talk about things that are only about themselves, or about inappropriate things, or things are being gossiped about in this group, or people share things, and I hear about it a week later, on Sunday, and I don't know how these things get out. These are the kinds of problematic things that happen just when hearts collide or get in the same group. At Redeemer, the context of that and the way the small groups work there is that was a church that you would say in a sense is built on small groups. In other words, we're talking about a hall that holds 1,600 people, and it's a rented building, and you got to get in and you got to get out by a certain time. And there was no other room in that building where after worship service you could collect and get to know people. So the church emphasized small group, did a lot of training. And the idea was that if you were in a small group, you were never more than two people away from a pastor. Because you're in a small group, your small group leader meets monthly at a monthly meeting with one of the pastors. So potentially, all the important things, or as Hute said, the prayer requests of that small group are known by a pastor no more than 30 days later, all right? So for Redeemer, they called them fellowship groups because they're not about necessarily teaching the word, although most of the time there was a Bible study provided. And anybody could lead small groups. I led a small group after I'd become a Christian. I'd been a Christian for 60 days, and I was asked to lead a small group. I mean, they'll take anybody. That's right. But that's how care was done at Redeemer. Okay, John.
One of the concerns that's been expressed about people dominating a group or being very needy, and one of the things that we found at Redeemer that was very helpful was that because the group had a purpose that was defined by the church, it's a fellowship group. This is not only a Bible study. It's not only a prayer group. Because there is a purpose given to us, the leader had another means of dealing with people who would get the group off track, because the church says this is what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
And if we come together, yeah, you have needs, but this group can't address all those needs. And because we have a purpose, the leader had a way of getting it back on track. We can't let one person dominate. It can't only be about you.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be about this one doctrinal issue. It can't be about something that you're really angry about.
Mm-hmm.
We have a purpose that's beyond us that we're trying to fit in with. And those needs are certainly important, but there's also the church. I remember one time they said that, if you get these real tough doctrinal issues, they teach Sunday school classes at the church on a regular cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Those questions are addressed in there. You're welcome to go to the Sunday school class and bring that up with the teacher and discuss it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave the leader a way of keeping it on track, because it's not just about us. It's not just about the kind of thing you might naturally get into. We have a purpose that is organized by the church.
Yeah. We talked about how the small groups here did not have a lot of interest from leadership or oversight, or they weren't necessarily impacted by leadership. What would you like to see? What would you like to see from leadership? Do you? You may get one whether I ask if you want one or not. In terms of vision. For small groups, should they just be about community, or should they be community that at least has some ministry of the word connected to it? Should they be organic but have accountability, so that if a couple of couples get together because they both happen to live in, say, Princeton Junction, and they want to get together, that's a small group, and they just want leadership to know about them and see them and visit them? I'd like to hear what you want. Mark?
I guess, as I said before, there's a lot of different emphases that are all profitable. I think that the main thing is that a small group should focus on things that can't be accomplished in the big Sunday morning meeting.
Hmm.
you know, the things that meetings like this are conducive for, personal interaction isn't always one of them. For me, small groups where someone does a teaching and there's no group discussion, I get that on Sunday morning and it's good, but I'd like something else in the small group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of church on Sunday and the fellowship group night, but they are in community
on
the week.
I'm thinking more of more small groups. Like right now, we drive to Watson's, and I love the people in the group, and it's a great time. But it's a half hour drive. I would hope over time, if we start drawing more people from down where we live, we might be able to start a small group down the way.
Yes.
Because, you know, there aren't a lot of churches like this, and I think people looking for sound doctrine and genuine Bible-based Christianity are going to be drawn here from fair distances, and we'll want to have things more localized for them.
Yeah. Ed?
Yeah, I think what I'd like to say is that no matter what groups are formed, I think you as pastors should know those groups exist, know what they're doing. So that if we get visitors or anybody comes in with a problem, you say, whoa, this group is in that area or whatever, and be able to direct them. But you have to have some measure of input, I think. Even if you don't dictate what they study, know what they're studying, and at least pass some judgment on it, and so that you're aware, so that you're up on just what's happening. So you wouldn't have to be involved necessarily, but to that extent, I would like to see so you're just aware of what's happening for your own information.
Yeah. Kathleen?
I particularly like purpose-driven groups, to coin the phrase, but I would like a mission.
I'm going to write that down.
Purpose-driven groups. But, I mean, I would like to see a group that wants to direct missions and missionary emphasis or a music group or whatever. But, I mean, that leaves Mark having to move close to the church so that he can go to his purpose-driven group. But, you know, I mean, I know that's difficult because then you still have the commute distance deal. But like Dave, John and Kate and I talked about, you know, maybe a group for children that want help on parenting skills and things like that, you know, that there are groups that are surrounded by an interest or an emphasis that way. But that's just my preference.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to have to be some flexibility to the model so that those things can work. There may be, like you say, that, you know, in the choir, in a sense, you have a group of, in a sense, like-minded artists, if you will, meeting together. That can function and do many of the same things that other groups do. They just also have that as a significant component. Nick?
When you say, what do I want? Well, I want everything.
He wants it all.
Okay. What I guess I don't want is somebody, you know, go to a group and get, like, a lesson. When I go to a Bible study, I want to study the Bible. I want time, like, I want to know what the passage is before so I can study it for, like, a long time and then get in the group and get more out of it. Because, like you said in the message today, you know, like, the Word of God is it. Like, there's life is there. And so, you know, I want a study that I can really get in that. Ilwilda had mentioned, like, a community, like, a place where you can meet and just, like, have fellowship and be able to do that, like, throughout the week. And it's not just, oh, I see you guys on Sunday, but I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can see your face, but I don't know what's in there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. Oh, and then
there's more, Gwen. He's got this. He wants it all, so you're gonna have to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also just, I like the idea that someone had mentioned about, like, you know, having a time where you can play some songs, do some prayer requests, and just kind of hang out. Mm-hmm. That's cool too. So there's just like there's a lot of possibilities. Yeah. There's just a whole lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Gwen.
Well, I was gonna say that I would like to see us have everything also. But I think that we need to be wise in what we do, you know, what we begin with, because we are a small church. Mm-hmm. And we have to consider the needs and the abilities and the interests of the people who are here. Mm-hmm. And go out from that. And, you know, speaking from the women's Bible studies, which have been very, very much oriented toward not just sitting and listening to someone teaching. That's not what we do. We all study, we all do homework, and we come in and we discuss it and we talk about how to apply it. Now, for those who are coming, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But there are people who are not coming, and we don't know what they want. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the issue at this point. And I think that what a lot of the people who are not coming want is more fellowship and prayer and support, and maybe less direct Bible study. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, a shorter time or whatever. It would be biblically based, of course, but that's, you know, that's not being offered at the moment.
Yeah. Now, do you think I wonder if that was sort of a chicken and egg thing, in the sense that because the right now, for instance, just to use your group as an example, you guys sort of carry the flag for women's Bible study. Do you think people have an idea of that's what the church's groups are like, and we need to kind of open that up a little bit to say, you know, there are greater possibilities here. There could be groups that are a bit more community fellowship oriented, especially if that group is made up of certain folks that have maybe less time, or they just don't have an obvious person that's willing to be consistent with the teaching. Do we have to be just more obvious about what the groups can be?
That's what we need to do, but we also need to be careful that we don't start 15 new things all at once, because we're not going to be able to sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the worst things we can do is to start things that fizzle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen a lot of things fizzle, and I think that's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I think we need to start things that we can support, that we can, as a church, can support.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see a group of women, for instance, have more of a fellowship and sharing and support with one another, but I'm not going to be leading that. That's not where my strength is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do that. So, you know, and if someone can lead that, and if that can be supported by the church, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't fizzle,
mm-hmm.
that would be fine.
Expand on that. I mean, we want flexibility so that we can do what we want, yet we want support so a group doesn't fizzle. So what do you think support looks like for a group that's starting out? Let's say the Hetlers find another couple down their way, and they want to start a group. What kind of support do you think we're talking about?
Well, there you're talking about starting something autonomously, and that's the American way. But this is a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I'm thinking, for instance, of the way our evening group got started. It was sort of, we had a morning group. It's been going, morning group's been going since long before we came to this church, morning women's Bible study. And then some people said, well, what about us? We work all day. We can't come. So then we sort of just started it. There was no connection between us and the leadership of the church. We just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's not a good model. That's mm-hmm. not a good model. I think that if the Hetlers start a group and somebody else starts a group and somebody else starts a group, we're going to have things that are scattered and some of them will fizzle, and that's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there needs to be some kind of whether people pray. How about praying before you start something? You know, how about that concept? That, you know, I don't want to bring up Bible study fellowship. I try not to bring it up too often, but we pray for years. Yeah, I can bring it up if you said it first. We pray for years before we come to have a group here. And I think that sometimes we just say, oh, let's, you know, we need to have a couples group. Let's start a couples group. Let's start one in Pennington. Let's have a Pennington couples group. And then three couples come, and then the next week two couples come, and they say, oh, well, that didn't work out. not a good way to go. Not a good way to go.
Clint.
I think one thing that, to me, and I'm not trying to kick something that's been working for a while, but it's frustrating to know that, you know, the men's group meets on Tuesday night, and the women's group meets on Thursday night, and none of the two shall mix. What if I can't go on Tuesday night, but I could go on Thursday night, but I'm not a woman, so I can't go?
We would love to have.
Did you see Mrs. Doubtfire?
She doesn't have that equipment.
No.
Having a women's group.
Yeah, you know, then you get into the problem of leadership. Is it, can a woman lead a mixed group? I don't know where this church stands on that, but that's it's just for historical reason that it's been unmixed. And there's benefit for having mixed and for unmixed. And again, we can't do it all right away. So the question is, how do we decide what we should be doing right?
Well, when it feels like to me the lens is closing in on something here, because some folks are talking about we need groups where we need them as this church grows and their couples come together, but then I'm also hearing an emphasis that this is ministry, and if a group just organically starts or organically closes down, that's a bad thing, that's an indicator of something. Dave?
Yeah, this gets back to the question you asked a few minutes ago. You know, don't recall now how you phrased the question, but it was, you used the term organic, and you know, the antithesis of that is something that's very programmatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I personally favor more of the organic things. I think it speaks a little bit, at least, to Gwen's point of not failing or fizzling, because if you kind of have this grassroots, a few people get together and say, hey, let's do this certain thing, and you know, whatever that thing happens to be, then it's easier to get people rally around that than it is to, you know, from on high, we're going to put together this very dogmatic program, and here's going to be in, you know, I think there's more risk in the programmatic way of doing it than the organic way.
Okay. Mark and then Nick?
Well, I think just, you know, we've talked some about where we want to go long term. I've contributed to that. But if we focus on immediate needs, what do we want to do now, I could suggest one area we could consider. We have the couples group going. Because of the space limitations and the size of Dave and Deb's living room, they've had to make it by invitation only. And my impression is there are other couples who would like to be part of something like that. I think there is an immediate need for a second group just like or very similar to what's going on at Watson's on every other Sunday. And I don't know how to bring that about. I'm emphatically not volunteering.
We must have it, but
particularly want to leave the group I'm in and be part of the new group I'm talking about, but I think there is a new group.
Mm-hmm. So this group has to split, but somebody else better leave. Okay, Nick.
When we talk about like groups growing organically, I think that's good and helpful because there's a need. Like the reason why a group would form is because say, oh well, there's this thing that we'd like to do. And we have some other people that would also like to do it, so, you know, why can't we address that need? And so I think that is good, but that doesn't mean that, like, planning can't go into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see this need, so, you know, let's talk to Pastor David or one of the elders and see, you know, what might be a good way to do this, or, you know, obviously give a prayer and say, hey, you know, God, this is what I'm thinking. I know that what you think oftentimes is different. But, you know, how does this work? Is this a desire that, you know, is good and you've given me? And just so, you know, just because it's like things just sprout up doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad, but, like, you can kind of marry, like, planning and spontaneity.
Yeah. Well, we should wrap up, but Thanks for your helpful comments, giving me both history and desire. Typically, the way small groups start up at a church about our size is they begin. We already have small groups, but as you start to think about them, as you start to think about church oversight over them, they typically start in a rather organic, felt needs fashion. All right. Now that means they don't necessarily start as ordered ministry. In other words, it isn't at a church our size, you're not going to get sort of top-down direction. We need to do this, especially as we haven't even particularized yet and have elders and sort of setting that course in that particular way. So they small groups often start bottom up. All right. Now again, there is direction, oversight, accountability given. You have pastor and leadership that cares about that. All right. Now, as a church grows, some order has to be brought to that. There may be a time where, for instance, Janice says, I've been driving, this is a great small group, but I'm driving all the way over here, and I would like something closer to Titusville. Do you know anybody else who said the same things I have? Because, you know, this church has two services now, and I sit on that side, and who knows, maybe there's somebody over here, and there's somebody at the second service that Janice doesn't even know, because she goes to a different service, see, that she's not connected with, and we don't know that. So, there's quite a service apparently happening on the lawn, and we should all thank Jen for keeping an eye on that service out there, where then structure has to be given. Now, there are times when small groups are used as initiatives, and my sense of this is that that can be a very sweet and wonderful time when the whole church is going through. Let's say we decide that calendar year 2008, we're going to go through. I'm just making this stuff up. I haven't thought about this until just now. We're going to go, let's say, through the book of Ephesians. All the Bible studies are going to go through the book of Ephesians. And the reason we're going through the book of Ephesians is an emphasis on God's grace. And let's say there are some troubled marriages. And, you know, there is chapter 5 in there about marriage. Let's say that we're going to do that. Well, then that can be kind of a sweet time to do that. Other groups feel like they're manipulated by that. You know, we got our thing going on here, and we're in this 4-year study of Romans, and darn it, we're going to finish it. You know, I've seen that happen too. So there has to be some flexibility about these things. My sense is that since we're not building the church on small groups at this point in time, that we should not say if a group starts up or people move, is a very transient area, that we should get worked up there, that it's an indicator of our church health if a small group here shuts down, if it just doesn't work out. But that's sometimes a hard thing, especially for the folks that feel like they're left when it's dissolved and the leaders, let's say, moved. That can be very trying, and care needs to be given to those situations. But my sense is that Cliff said it well. I mean, we need more than we have. I mean, Cliff's looking at his own schedule, his own calendar. I think Cliff's probably indicative of busy schedule. He travels. A lot of people here travel. It is a transient area. There's not enough right now. We do need more. It does need to be supported, but there has to be some flexibility brought in. Now, to the picture. The only thing that I'm bringing here today to say that I would like to do is I would love to have, and I'm putting this in the bulletin, to offer to you, in a sense, what I call leadership training. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm teaching you how to be a Bible exegete or anything like that. It's actually more of an encouragement group, because there are folks that want to be in a group. They'd like to have one. In fact, they have the strongest desire to do it, but they've never done it before, and they just need to be encouraged. And so it would be a half a day meeting that, for instance, Matt Harmon and I would lead. We've talked about this, where we would act as a small group during that half a day, and we'd sort of rotate some of the things that people do. What do you do when you think about hospitality? Here are some materials I'll give you. Let's lead a 20-minute discussion about these things. If we're going to talk about if outreach is a component of your group, or prayer and worship is a part of it, what should we be doing? What things need to be talked about? So that if a group starts up, you're simply asking good questions with the gifts God's given you by the people that show up. So it's in a sense ordered flexibility. And ultimately, and that's why you have a public town meeting like this. Pastorally, I have to be meeting ultimately with the leaders of the groups, so that you do feel you have support. You do feel that you're, when you lead that group, you're doing it with freedom and confidence because you know somebody has your back. And as things bubble up as out of an organic group, then I know that the group exists before somebody comes in and says, he dissed me in that group. and I have something I'm holding against that brother or sister, and we need to get that solved or whatever. Do those things make sense? Any concerns about that? Okay. Is anybody here thinking about leading or starting a small group? You can raise your hand, Eileen. I see you sticking it up there. Mm-hmm. All right, well, why don't I pray for us? But if there's something that's been on your heart and you're thinking about it, please see me. Father, we're grateful. We have we praise you for the community that you've drawn to yourself here. The people here that are yours and precious to you and precious in your sight. You don't want any of your little ones to be isolated and cut off. We're also reminded, Lord, that in calling the 12 apostles, it's fairly clear that Jesus saw that he was reconstituting Israel, reconstituting a group, a people group. And that in Mark 10, where Jesus was talking to a group of people and his family was at the door, that he expected that people would rely on one another as members of his new family. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the body, the metaphor is of a body, a group together, belonging to each other, needing each other. In fact, sometimes the weakest person is the one that you will use to bring blessing to the whole. So, Father, as we are members of your house and your household, and as the gospel transformed households, Father, may it transform our household when we become a new family in ways that are rich. Worship is important. We are glad for a place to do it and a time to do it. But the Christian life should be a rich one because of the riches you've bestowed upon us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.